Hey, y'all, this is Michael, and we're excited to present to you episode 004 of the MC Vocal Fry podcast. It's titled Imposters, and we really get into talking about what's called imposter syndrome. And this was ended up being really important for me because later I discovered that I'm not a fake, but I am the real deal, and so are you. So that's really awesome. We also discovered that I can correctly predict the future because 1 week ago in the last episode, we found out that, in this episode, we discovered that I was right when I said J.J. Abrams is directing the new Star Wars movie, but you all already know that because you already saw it. We also talk about a bunch of other stuff, and it's really great, so I hope that you like it. Make sure that you go follow us on Facebook at MC Vocal Fry, and it's www.vocalfry, that's vocalfry.com. Thanks a lot, and enjoy Imposters.
You're listening to the MC Vocal Fry podcast, your weekly dash of voice science, pedagogy, and pop culture, coming to you from the campus of Mississippi College in Clinton, Mississippi.
Are we still recording right now?
Yes, we're recording right now.
Thank you for being a friend.
Have you seen that video?
Yeah. It's so good.
Haven't you seen the Gospel Golden Girls theme?
Oh, there's the Golden Girls theme on the left, and then on the right, there's a guy riffing over it, and so it goes, they go, thank you for being a friend. Oh, whoa! I was starting from the bottom, now we're here again. It's like so good. And they start screaming at the end. It's so good.
It is really good. Well, and I just want to encourage you to watch Golden Girls reruns.
Where do you find it? I have no
that's right. Okay. Well, they're on Hallmark. I think they're on Netflix. All the Golden Girls episodes are on Netflix.
No.
Oh, they're not.
I think I probably would have watched them if they were.
I'm sure they're somewhere illegally. Not that we at MC
or at the MC Vocal Fry podcast endorse anything illegal.
I'm sure I'll stumble across them someday, and I'll make sure to watch them.
What I want to point out about them that's brilliant, first of all, the writing is very, very fine, but the timing between Betty White and Estelle Getty is, and then when you add, I mean, the brilliant Bea Arthur into that mix, it's like, I mean, and I feel like most of the comedy in that show is like timeless.
I'm sure.
Yeah, it still makes sense.
Unlike Seinfeld, which feels very dated. It feels very dated to me. So does Cheers in a way. Cheers and Seinfeld feel very dated to me.
Cheers, I like find humorous, but I'm also like, this feels old.
Right. And that's still, when Seinfeld was on TV, that was sort of my era, and I was all about it. But it feels very dated to me now when I see reruns of it.
I think people will feel that way about Community and possibly about Parks and Rec.
That the comedy is timeless or dated?
Dated. Because it makes so much sense to us now, it's almost like too relevant.
Yeah,
because
they make enough like little political references and jabs that I feel like in the future people are going to be like
in 30 years it's going to be like when you watch a Friends episode. I hate
Friends.
Friends is
Okay, I'm sorry. You need to read those theories of how Friends destroyed intellectualism in America.
Look, Ross is the worst. It's okay. He is literally the worst.
He's the only intellectual on the show.
That doesn't mean he's not a complete.
I thought Jennifer Aniston was the other intellectual. I'm just kidding.
He's horrible. Okay. He goes to marry this girl that he's only known 6 weeks. He says his ex's name, and then everybody acts like it's so absurd that she's like, you know, I don't want you to see her anymore. You know why? Because not only is she your ex, you said her name at our wedding instead of mine. Like, how is that absurd? What's happening?
Michael's taking another picture. I guess it was picture day at the MC Vocal Fry podcast.
I wish I had known.
I think you're more dressed up than any of us.
Yes, but this is not like...
It's September. I get to wear ninja clothes now, guys.
I've never
we're 2 weeks out from Magic Flute.
Yeah.
put on my war clothes today.
I'm just not ready.
But we need to start. We need to start here with the fact that Michael had the excellent prognostication crazy. 1 week ago. Now, obviously, we're in a time machine, so it seems a little dated news to you listeners out there.
But we're really excited about it.
But we found out this week that, in fact, episode 9 will be directed by J.J. Abrams. Michael Hamm!
Oh, that bell.
Woo!
He predicted correctly that 1 week ago before the official announcement came out.
I predicted the future in the past because we're in a time machine.
And we here would all like to express our great excitement.
Yes.
In case
yes.
you're listening, yes. JJ, that we are very pleased that you will be co-writing and directing.
And JJ,
because we all know that during Star Trek, you really were just trying to make a Star Wars movie. And then you made a Star Wars movie, and it was amazing. And now our fate is hanging on Rian Johnson. Which we're okay with.
But we're really excited that you're going to be making
yes.
another one.
Yes.
So my hope, really and truly, is that episode 8 will be amazing, obviously. But it's for this reason that I say this. Because 7, while amazing, was totally J.J. Abrams taking all the audiences, especially the older fans, by the hand and going, it's okay. It's okay. We'll never do Jar Jar to you again. It's really okay.
It kind of was.
You mean all the people of his generation?
All the people who loved 4, 5, and 6. He goes, it's okay. We're never going to do that to you again. It's going to be great. Look, see? Big, big death machine. Do you see it? We're going to go in.
There's
heroism. We're going to
destroy the big death machine. That's
it's
right.
It's going to be awesome. And so now they can be adventurous. And so now I'm really excited because my issue is if episode 8 is like less than stellar, then it has to pet their hand again.
Right.
Now.
Yeah. Well, hopefully
but if
that
eight
won't
is
happen.
Great, then 9 can be really exciting.
So I'm feeling a little bit better. My back seems to have limbered up some. I got some of those TENS electrostimulation
those are good.
Things. For those of you who do not know, which is all of you listening, I had thrown my back out on Monday doing a back squat and felt my weight roll forward, and that's bad form, and you shouldn't do that. So I've been suffering all week. Maybe not quite as bad as the day Sarah had a migraine, but it was a rough day.
Tuesday he took a muscle relaxer and then tried to teach our class. Or Wednesday.
It was fantastic.
Was it Wednesday?
It was Wednesday.
Practicum.
I would like to say that I did not say anything utterly ridiculous.
There was a lot of fist slamming, and Garcia was right about everything.
Lots of gesturing.
It was a lot of fist slam. No, this is what's wrong. This is something in the last 60 years. Nobody talk about the source anymore. Garcia talked about the source. Like,
pretty much.
That's what it was like. And word slurring.
And of course, by the
slamming.
Source, in this case, we are not referring to any weird Star Wars
the
reference.
Death Star.
We are actually talking about the vocal folds. We're actually talking about something singing. We were talking about the glottis.
Nobody talks about
and
the
I was I was complaining about how nobody focuses on the source anymore. People just focus on either resonance or breath. And we... I think have done. Although I think that tide is shifting. You guys have to understand. I think that throughout the course of all this, all these tides go back and forth. Like there was a time when all the sounds you heard in classical singing were dark, and we've been in a time now where I think so many of the sounds in classical singing are overly bright. But you have to understand that these things are cyclical. I mean, almost all this stuff is cyclical. I mean, people think that the breath is the thing, and then the phonation is the thing, and then the tongue is the thing, and you know, it goes in cycles.
I actually have a theory about that, about fractals, guys.
Fractals?
You know what fractals are, right?
They're
a picture made from a mathematical pattern that no matter how far you zoom in, it's the same pattern no matter how far you zoom
yes,
out.
Yes, 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 yes.
And so I've been thinking about this a lot, that which is true for the individual is often the pattern is true for the group of people and upwards and upwards and upwards. So it's cyclical for the individual. Everything in their life is about breath for 5 seconds. Everything's about phonation. Everything's about this. And then it becomes true of a studio or a school. and then it becomes true of the singing world nationally or globally, and things shift around in this pattern. And so it's just, I think what we're seeing is that that echo began somewhere, and it started, you know, and I wonder if it can go both ways, but just I think a lot about these fractals, and I think that that patterns operate in this way. And so
I think that's a reasonable comparison.
Yeah, I feel like that applies to some stuff, but I don't think that's just overwhelmingly true for everything. I mean, all the time you say, oh, well, what's good for one person isn't good for another person, or what's good for one person isn't good for the whole. I mean,
right.
Maybe.
But maybe that there are large groups of people that have this, maybe a community of people have similar perceptions of sound because they come from a similar culture. And therefore, it's best for them to think about phonation. Or for whatever reason, their perception of singing comes primarily from breath. And so as a community, breath talking works really great for them. While here, we have a madman slamming his fist on the table, screaming about the source. Therefore, the culture here, I think, at least within our studio, is very much about the source. And so it makes a lot of sense for us to talk about the source. Also, I think it works empirically. So there's that.
We also talk about other parts of the system.
Yes. But the source has been the most recent development.
I was really happy yesterday, and I'll give it to you this afternoon. But I you weren't here yesterday. You can have a copy. I made a new handout.
You really like handouts. I never thought about that. But you really like handouts.
He loves handouts.
Well,
he
Michael
so
keeps thinking that I'm going to at some point turn all the handouts into the book.
I've said that. Yes.
Okay. But I what did I call it?
Perna's possible respiration remedies.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Because one of the things I'm trying to do is not present any pedagogy text to them that is one master teacher or singer's opinion. And so what I gave them was my opinion on what might be possible rather than on what is. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the undergrads last week asked for answers. No, on Tuesday, she asked for answers. She said, when am I going to get answers? And so I said, well, here's some possibilities.
Is this the same undergraduate student from the week before?
I don't remember what you're referencing, but possibly.
Okay.
I want to give a shout out today, a really big shout out to my former student, Tyrone Davis, who a few weeks ago officially joined the ensemble for Waitress on Broadway. And last night, again, we're in a time machine, so this was a while ago for you folks listening at home. But last night made his Broadway debut in a named part as, what is it, OG in Waitress, OGIE. And so he made his named role debut last night. So congratulations, Tyrone. We hope you're listening for some odd reason, but
why wouldn't he?
We hope everyone's listening.
So extraordinary.
We're great.
Oh my. Okay. This is actually one of the other things I wanted to talk about today. And it has a little bit, I guess, of a serious sort of vibe to it. But I don't really mean for it to necessarily be a serious conversation. One of the things that is prevalent in academia that I also think is prevalent in us as artists is something called imposter syndrome. Are you all familiar with this?
Yes.
With this phrase of what it means?
Yes.
So what do you think it means? Just so we're all on the
imposter
same page.
Imposter syndrome, it's like, no matter how well I do or what I achieve or if I'm a singer or not, it's like, I'm not really a singer or I'm not really an artist.
I'm faking it.
I'm faking it and I'm just fooling everyone.
Someday, right, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Just that constant fear of being found out.
Right, yeah. Fear of being found out.
Yeah.
And that's another way to describe it.
Michael's a charlatan.
That's sort of...
He's been lip-syncing the whole magic.
And it's interesting to me that as you get sort of deeper into any field... You know, and I'll just use our sort of two fields that we're sort of living in with this podcast, that being the singing voice world and then the sort of academic voice world. It is amazing to me that that imposter syndrome can be prevalent even at the highest levels with some of the most successful individuals who can still be prone to this kind of thinking. And it got me thinking. I had a conversation yesterday with a guy who is a very fine singer and a very fine voice teacher. And we were discussing his sort of, you know, career and where he'd like to be and where he is currently and whatever. And it was an interesting situation because this particular individual didn't think that maybe they were even qualified to apply for an academic job. And I think sometimes you guys can relate to this more from the standpoint of maybe you not even be qualified to do an audition for something.
I
think that is a thing that kind of permeates at your life stages.
And it's hard because I really think that YouTube is both the greatest blessing
and a curse.
A horrible curse.
Yes.
Because I, you know, 18 years old, I'm looking up videos of
Franco Corelli.
Franco Corelli. No, at 18, I thought Franco Corelli's voice was exceedingly weird. I thought any sound that wasn't only bright, only chiaro, no scuro, like any sound that wasn't like that, I hated.
Chiaro non scuro.
Exactly. So that weird, so true chiaro scuro terrified me, and it made me really feel weird. But, you know, but so eventually I came around and found out that Franco Corelli is the greatest singer to ever grace the planet. That
in Michael's opinion.
In my opinion. I love his voice. But it's like,
I mean, not that I don't.
But, you know, you grow up listening to that, and then you go, well, I can't do that. And then even, you know, I don't sing that kind of rep. But then you sing your own, you sing the rep that you actually sing, and then you find Pavarotti singing your rep, and then you're going, oh, I, what? And then it's like, oh, I don't sound like that. Maybe I suck. Maybe I'm no good. And at the end of the day, if I'm not doing enormous grand opera, that I am a failure.
Well, and I think
at the Met, I'm a.
And
know?
I think unfortunately, that this phenomenon is one of the reasons that so many of us, as a sort of character flaw, tend to be so then in to compensate for that, tend to be narcissistic and have inflated egos, even though the inflated ego is really just a self-defense mechanism against the fact that we think we're big time failures.
Right. I mean, even joking, you'll have heard me say this, even jokingly, I'll be like, well, yes, I'm the greatest singer to ever grace the planet. Or I'll say, everyone knows I'm a star. I say it jokingly, like I don't actually think those things. But there are people who really have like convinced themselves, like they put that wall up in a much less joking, more intense way,
right,
to cover up the fact that they are terrified.
And I think that's where.
Because I say that to say I do that as a defense mechanism.
I think that you all have heard me say this before, but you know, like, the amateur resists feedback and the pro desires feedback, you know, sort of honest feedback. At the same time, none of us enjoy harsh criticism. I mean, in the end, one of the things that you want and need in your life, I think, are, I'm going to say, 2 and upwards of 5. Somewhere between 2 and 5 mentors who you trust with more or less anything professionally. And 5 is probably too many. But, well, I mean, maybe not. I mean, listen, you can sort of learn something from anybody. I mean, there can always be, even if it's what you should not do, sort of that old adage. But I think that we need feedback, and we need, I think we need honest assessment of self, but honest assessment of self does not mean self that we're being mean to ourselves either. I think honest assessment of self needs to include, what are the things that I am good at? Because, you know, so one of the things that has taken us, I think, a full 2 years down at the hospital to get into where we are right now, to sort of tie this into to the research, is that up until this point of my career, all the research that I have done has been purely acoustic, meaning it's been all research that has been done, well, all the voice science research, has been with basically devices that are just microphone-based. And as we're now moving into this world of using the PAS and, you know, looking at some other things, sort of moving into this world of aerodynamics, I guess in a way the closest I've come to aerodynamics before was looking at contact quotient measures.
Right, because it's like you're not a physicist.
And I'm not a physicist.
Right.
Nor do I have a PhD in communication sciences.
Right.
And yet,
or a physical therapy degree.
Nor do I have a physical therapy
degree. Or a speech path degree.
No, thank you.
And yet here we are.
And yet here we are, and we're going to do this thing.
And it's going to be good.
And it's going to be good. And I think there's lessons to be learned there. Like even for you guys. You guys are probably at a point 2 weeks out from opening Magic Flute where you're not so sure exactly how it's going to go yet.
Well,
particularly because Sarah has misfunctioning smoke detectors in her house. So she was up at like 4 o'clock in the morning this morning.
That's great.
And, you know, and we all have our, you know, you have a job where you're waiting tables right now. I mean, at the same time, you know, I think that sometimes our other work while we're learning to be singers sometimes helps us keep life in perspective a little bit. Like, so during my doctorate, my first year of my DMA, I was going to school full time, I had my assistantship, I had a church job, and I was also working from like 5 a.m. to 11 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, unloading trucks for the container store.
Wow.
Because I felt we were trying to buy a house and our first home, and we were trying to struggle and to make ends meet and everything and what have you. And I was actually sort of glad for that time, because it gave me perspective, because we were married. Mandy and I were married, but we didn't have kids yet at that point, thank goodness. But I think it's important to just keep what we do in perspective. I mean, I think that I ended undergrad ped yesterday with the thought that singing is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
Those undergraduate students, I'm sure that they have not had that thought for probably 4 years.
Well, and the thing is, that's so sad.
It is. I mean, it's sad that you have to remind yourself. I have to remind myself, like, every week or so.
No, but I think that actually helps with the imposter syndrome. And, you know, I mean, think about it. One of the things that you realize when you actually get out into the profession is that the profession is so small. You know, there are really not that many people, as I've talked about the last couple of weeks with classes, because we are weird. Normal human beings don't go into a building, into a closed-off room with a 200-year-old instrument and hit it and attempt to match the tone that that instrument produces in an organized fashion in time and frequency.
He means warm up. He's talking about warming up.
I am talking about warming up.
Bing. Ah! Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
And normal people don't do that, because as they walk past our building,
the looks.
They go, what is happening?
They think that someone is in trouble, I think. Yeah, and if they ever stumble in these doors, they're even more scared. You know, it's interesting. My colleagues at the medical center have often tried to send clients to me for lessons, and they very rarely come. And I think one of the reasons that they very rarely come is not because, well, I think it's two things. I do think there's the whole thing of they're already going to a doctor and they assume that their insurance will cover everything that the doctor is going to need.
Yeah.
But obviously insurance does not cover voice lessons. In case any of you were wondering, Insurance does not cover voice lessons.
If my plan had worked and I'd been able to bring us 8-12 slices of bacon this morning,
what?
Why you should have done that?
I should have, but I was running out of time.
You're gonna bring up that you were gonna bring us bacon. Why'd you even bring that up, bro?
Sorry, I was thinking about the bacon.
Now.
I do have a sign in my office that was a gift from a wonderful former student that says bacon makes everything better. It's slightly covered up right now because I have a wonderful picture that my daughter drew of our family that's really quite lovely.
Your neck's so long in it.
My neck is so long in it?
Yes,
Slender Man.
It is. It's a very good picture, though.
Anyway, so just to finish up that whole imposter syndrome thing, I think that we need to realize that we are who we are. And I think it's important to get out of the environment which you're in from time to time. You know, we've been talking that we're going to go to Voice Foundation this summer.
Yes.
Nats National is this summer. Also, you're you know, Sarah's singing with Mississippi Opera this fall.
Woo-hoo.
That's important. You know, it's important that you guys have – Michael has been to two different schools. And so I think it's important just for all of us to get out of our little bubble. You know, that thought came to me too this week, actually, just how when I was coming up as a – kid, I mean like teenager, most of the time you just sort of like there was like one teacher for my rural area and she was like the only person who taught voice, and so like I just went to my choir director and I was like, I want voice lessons. And so I went and took them. Now she happened to be very good, but I was like, now with the internet and with social media, I feel like there was a thread this morning on PVT about a person who I will not name charging a certain very high dollar amount for lessons. And, you know, it's interesting because I think now with the internet, all this information gets out there. And I think it's a little bit like your YouTube analogy.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's like fake.
It's
so polarized.
And it makes you feel maybe slightly worthless. But also then if you realize that there's probably no secret that they're giving, it makes you maybe feel better about yourself all at the same time.
This is an exorbitant amount of money.
Right. It's a very high dollar amount for an hour of service. I mean, you're almost getting into attorney rates at that point.
Ooh.
So I've been working a lot this week on trying to get schedules worked out. And what I have come up with is we're not exactly sure what week we're going to start yet because of some details that we don't need to go into right now. But I have the schedule basically set up, and one of the things that we want to do with this study is we want these folks to come in not having made much noise that day. We're trying to get them early morning, certainly before they do any rigorous voice use. So we definitely want them before choir, and we definitely want them before their lesson, particularly with their lesson, I think even more so, because it would be one single day and none of the other days that, you know what I'm saying? If we do them the same time, and then they have like a, it would really affect their data potentially.
Yeah.
In light of that, we're probably going to start those weeks with a client at 7:30, with a subject at 7:30. Which is early for you, not for me.
How many days? So just one day a week we're going to do 7:30?
Oh, no, it will be a whole, every single week we're testing, we will have a 7:30 client.
Get ready.
There is one week, currently, the way I have it set up, that we will have a 7 a.m. client.
If you like, I can give you my smoke detector and it'll wake you up at like 6 or 5 every morning.
Hey, that's it. Maybe we could get the smoke detector to sponsor the MC Vocal Fry podcast.
I don't know.
You don't know the
who
company.
Built this smoke detector, but you know.
We actually ended up having our smoke detector changed out because we switched it with our home security system. Anyway, but so I apologize to both of you for those early days.
I get up at like 7 anyway.
I got up at 8:15 today, and then made the half hour drive here. So,
well, one of the things that I offered to the subjects was to be taken out if they were unwilling to be a 7 a.m. hour participant, and we did have a couple of subjects withdraw. Which is fine. You know, listen, for those of you who are potential researchers out there, if you're listening, subject recruitment and actual scheduling of these kind of things is one of the most difficult tasks about this process. Unless you're offering like $100 Starbucks gift cards because you have the budget for it from a grant to pay your subjects, then that's a different thing. In our case, we are not offering. Here's what we're offering. What we are offering our subjects is they will receive a complimentary voice health screening, including a rigid stroboscopy, because it goes in through the mouth, not the nose, so it's technically non-invasive. And they will also get the advantage, and they'll get probably we'll probably print them a picture of their cords. So
frame and the, name.
Don't do that.
No, actually, don't name your that sound. Naming vocal folds seems weird to me.
There's
Cecilia and Maria. The last one in the room. I'm just naming.
Are you just naming them after professional singers?
Yes.
There's Franco, and there's Fritz. He has some trouble sometimes getting where he needs to go.
Why can't you just name them both UC and be done with it?
Even I'm not that narcissistic. Both of my cords.
Now he's just going to name them Franco.
Name them UC and Luciano.
There you go.
That'd be cool.
Oh my gosh.
That might be horrifying.
My voice hooks really hard.
If you want to freak. If you want to freak a non-music person out, though, because like when freshman year, we all get the little free stroboscopies.
Yes, that is an advantage to coming to Mississippi College to study voice, that all of our incoming students, we will, if you wish, it's certainly not required, but if you wish, we will set up a free screening for you to have a look at your cords.
And you get a photo. And, you know, you just tuck it in with your music. And I took it, like, I went home for the summer, and like, it gotten in with my music, and so we went to, like, where we have a piano at my house, but, like, where I practice is also where my mom works on furniture, because that's what she does. And so, one day this summer I just hear, what is this? Because she had just come across a photo of vocal folds, and I come from a very squeamish family, and so it was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first time I was, like, looking at, you know, internal pictures of larynges and stuff, and I remember, but now that stuff doesn't.
I remember my freshman year, they said, don't eat lunch this day, freshman. And I showed up for voice seminar, and there he was.
Oh, was I doing a voice out talk?
Dr. Nicholas Perna going, click, here's what happens if you get HPV on your vocal folds. Click, here's what happens
that,
if you...
It did not start that
here's
way.
Here's what happens if you
not
smoke.
Doing that
click,
here.
here's a video of a 10-year-old child with vocal notes because she was a cheerleader. Click. Here's this other thing.
What's
click.
Wrong with you?
Here's this other thing. Click. I mean, you could have had Sarah McLachlan Angel playing in the back, and it would have been less sad. In the arms of the angel, far away from. But seriously, it was like. But now I'm like.
Yeah, I've
fine,
changed
whatever.
That voice health talk a lot
Can
over the years.
Can you imagine if you did that with your current little undergrad? Ped
no.
The current undergrad ped class would all need therapy. Physical therapy?
No, I've changed that talk. That talk has shifted from information.
Electroshock therapy.
That talk has shifted largely from giving you guys information to giving you a pep talk into taking care of yourself pre any kind of injury and knowing yourself and knowing what kind of body responses your body has to different stimuli.
Yeah, 8 years ago that talk was very much like Scared Straight voice edition.
Yeah, and you know why that was? Let me just in defense of that. The reason that talk was that way was because for the first institution I did that for, we had many students who had some substance issues. And
so probably it was necessary.
And specifically smoking. And I was trying to
convince them, hey, this is really what
provide evidence about. That it was dangerous.
Right.
Yeah. So and over the years, I've shifted that talk. Obviously, with Sarah's reaction, that it was not that way. I've shifted that talk a great deal. By the way, one thing I just said that I thought that someone on social media, because this is how social media works, is going to comment on this that I said vocal cords.
CORDS.
Interestingly enough, just a few years ago, Dr. Tietze, I heard him say, I always sort of like cords more than folds. So my basic stance on that issue is, if it's good enough for him, I can use the two interchangeably, as long as we all know what I'm talking about.
That's one of those dumb things.
We understand that the tissue looks more like folds than it does cords. Okay, we're all okay. Thank you. Yes, we're all in this room. We are all clear about that. Okay.
Singers argue about words more than singing. We've talked about this at school this week.
This is one of my other things about how this is not real life. Is that we use words that no one else on the planet uses.
We even use the words that we use that other people on the planet use. We use them in a different way. Like,
for example, engagement and spin.
Spin is a good one.
These are what I refer to as singer words.
He usually says singery words.
Not real people words, even though they are, of course, words. Something can, in fact, spin. A top can spin.
But does the voice really spin?
Well, so many people use the term, which is interesting because a lot of the time, and then my other thing about that is that then, of course, if it's in Italian, for years it was way more scientific about the voice. It was way more, if we said, voce piena in testa, that made it better. Or like, here's my favorite one. And choir directors, we love you, choir directors. We support choir directors. But choir directors are notorious for saying senza vibrato instead of straight tone. In case you're wondering, they literally mean the same thing, but they somehow think that
without vibrato.
Again, if one's in Italian, it has to be better.
In lieu of actual scientific information, we just translate stuff into Italian.
Right.
I'm going to start doing that all the time.
Yeah, my whole paper that I'm going to write for you today that's due today is going to be in Italian.
Yes, Michael has
Google
a paper
Translate.
Due for today.
Google
You're just
Translate.
Going to type up some stuff, put it in Google Translate, turn it in.
One of the things that I will do on days that we test is I will make sure I'm here earlier than you need to be here so that I can set up. I don't need to make you all be here any earlier than you need to be here. Because we will want to each day make sure that we have the entire day's masks ready.
Shoot. Okay.
Before we start, because we're going to, specifically the first week, when we're trying to make sure that we're doing everything right and naming the files correctly and all that kind of stuff, we're going to find that our time is going to go super fast because we're taking tokens before they do the limiting task. Mm-hmm. And then the limiting tasks are all about 10 to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then we're taking tokens after the limiting task.
Could we set up the masks and stuff like the day before?
That is a good idea, actually.
Yeah,
to be honest, actually, if we set them up...
Can we just leave them set up?
For the week, yes. I guess
set
it's really just Monday. I'll have to make sure that we're set up.
Subject one. If we set them up like Friday afternoon or something like that.
That's true.
Have them just there.
That's true. We also need to make sure that we come in and boot the computer because we are an entire PC-based campus. And as you know or don't know, computers keep getting smaller. And we had a weird thing with the machine that we're using for the equipment. That we actually had to take the panel, the side panel off, and break one of the bars on the back to actually fit the sound card for the equipment. Because this equipment was purchased in 2013. And if you know anything about audio engineering equipment, it changes much more rapidly than 4 years.
Yes.
So our sound card is technically not even made anymore.
It's a dinosaur.
And it is a dinosaur. But... our equipment requires a specific sound card, and this one works. I could upgrade this just the sound card probably without a whole lot of difficulty, and it would still power all this equipment. But this is the one that, of course, 4 years ago, this sound card was like $1,000.
Oh, my gosh.
And now you could buy this sound card for $200 or something like that because they don't make it anymore. Because, again, this audit, it's like a friend of mine just helped this woman who had a, her husband passed away. He had his own home studio with equipment that was like from like around 2005. Oh. It's like worthless. I mean, there's some ear monitors that are worth keeping.
But because all the stuff's older.
Right. And one of the problems that recording technologists have now is that a lot of times the hardware, the software on their machines, on the computers, can't support the old tech.
So frustrating.
Well, that's because as Apple proved to us again on Tuesday, they are very hardcore set on world domination.
Yeah, they just want you to buy stuff every 2 years.
For $1,000 for a phone.
Well, I will never.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I might not
unless
be getting
the value, unless inflation happens and the minimum wage goes up, I will never buy a phone.
Even then, I feel like just ideologically, morally, as a person, I have something against paying $1,000 for
a
phone.
You can buy a whole lot of bacon for $1,000.
At the same time, I think it's important for us to remember that most of those devices, if we compare them to a laptop that we would have bought the year the first generation iPhone came out, which would have probably cost $1,500, that phone is now so superior hardware and software wise to that device, which is extraordinary.
But you know they're kind of scamming us all. There's no way.
Oh, there's an Apple tax. They admit it.
Yeah.
There's no question.
It's preposterous. That just as a person with high ideals, this really bothers me.
Tim Cook, if you're listening and you would like to sponsor the At MC Vocal Fry podcast.
Note that we will get the Apple computer in. Every single MacBook.
We
in every
certainly
single
do record this on my MacBook Pro.
We do.
But we could use a new MacBook Pro. So if you'd like to sponsor us by donating a,
why don't you custom build us a MacBook Audio Pro that's specifically for voice pedagogy wizards?
Oh, you know, it's great though. Now that I can, now that I followed that gentleman's directions from PVT, now we can use Mata. Mata on Mac, it's so much better. And now, and I'm really loving. And Bodo, if you're listening, Bodo Moss is the new programmer for Voce Vista, and I'm loving Voce Vista 5. I mean, I am just loving it on my Mac.
It
is.
Looks for excuses to open it in class.
I look for excuses to put harmonic filters
right,
on.
I say,
on the sound.
I say, go ahead, do your trick, because I've seen it 4 times now. And it's still fascinating.
It is. It's crazy.
Here's just the first harmonic. Here's the second harmonic.
But I mean, you know,
harmonic.
and we really
here's
owe
the first four.
And we really owe Ian a great debt for that. I mean, we really owe Ian a great debt for the hours that he spent with his own machine listening to these noises.
Yeah.
It would have gotten incredibly annoying to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I imagine
here's this
so.
The singer swarmant. It sounds like but you can still hear the fundamental.
Yeah.
That your ear invents.
I think that putting Ian's work, and I know he and Ken are doing seminars and workshops together a lot now, but I think that their work combined on the footsteps or on the foundation that was built by Don and Don Miller and others, and I think when we completely, fully can engage with what Ian has shown us now with absolute spectral tone color,
I think it will change everything.
I think it has the potential to be sort of the last great arguments sort of come to more discussion rather than argument. Okay, closing thoughts because we're out of time. Takeaways. That's what we're calling it. We need a takeaway like takeaway.
No, yeah. it shouldn't be like that.
No, it should not be like
no.
that.
No. My takeaway is that next week I'm going to bring us bacon.
Please.
Michael
bacon.
Does bring food to class on a somewhat regular basis. It's
like
usually
to eat
tacos.
Yeah.
And that's okay too.
But we have class at weird times of day, and a little bit of sustenance is very
necessary.
Very good.
Necessary. Can't prepare this week.
Oh, Sarah has... Wait, hold on. Wait, pause. We forgot. What did Sarah have for breakfast?
Oh, what did I
have?
Did
we really make this a thing?
Well, It's this nice little, like, biscuity cookity thing. I don't know how to describe it. And
biscuity
it has,
cookity thing?
I can't describe it. It's kind of like a British biscuit of sorts.
Okay.
And it has cocoa almond butter in the middle, which is basically, it's not Nutella. There's not as much chocolate in it as Nutella. But I
so
like
it was
I
a sweet.
Is it digestible?
No.
It's so digestive?
It
was,
I don't remember.
It sounds
who,
like a digestive.
No, it's not, but
it
it's
does.
Yummy. It's got almond butter in it, so protein, and it was yummy.
Sarah,
I
feel like you're just justifying eating cookies for breakfast.
It's
it
not
does
a cookie.
Sound
they
like
sell it. They sell it on the breakfast aisle. It's breakfast. It's sold by people that make granola
okay.
bars. It's right next to all the right. granola bars. So I'm thinking
we will remember next
food.
Week to do Sarah's breakfast earlier in the show.
It's very exciting.
Sorry, go ahead with your takeaway.
Okay, look, if the battery in your smoke detector dies, don't just take the battery out and let it run on the backup battery. Those don't last that long. You will wake up in the middle of the night to it beeping. Just buy a battery. This is just a warning for everyone.
Yeah, double A batteries are not the... What is it, 9 volt or is it 9 volt?
9 volt.
Yeah.
That too. Know that it's a 9 volt battery. Don't go and just buy batteries thinking this must be what it takes because you're going to have to go back.
Sarah.
Done now.
My takeaway goes back to our point. In all things in life, I think we need a mentor. And then also, when you are a little older... Be a good mentor to your mentees. Invest in their lives as well. Pour into them what was poured into you, and I think it will be given back to you over and over and over again. And when I think of my students who are out doing things, because, I mean, I'm getting currently to enjoy this great year with you guys being here. But when I think of Tyrone being out last night on Broadway in a named role, this is a kid, well, man now, this is a guy who nobody thought he was going to make it in theater. He had a good voice, but nobody thought he was going to be able to make it as an actor. And for him to have a named role on Broadway last night, pour into your mentees. Pour into your students. They will pay it back tenfold. So that's my takeaway. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.